We have Sunny on the phone.
I told you she's a busy lady.
She's busy, yeah.
We know you're busy. Yeah.
You are the busiest former prosecutor.
Sunny Hudson, thank you. Thank you. And can you make some sense of this, of the Eric Garner no indictment decision yesterday?
You know, I've been trying to make sense of this all night, all morning, and I just can't do it. I look at the facts as we know them, especially after seeing the video, and what I see is an unarmed man who was being non-aggressive, who was not being resistant, who was taken down with the chokehold tactic that has been banned by the NYPD for over 20 years. I see a medical examiner's report that says that there was a homicide by chokehold. I've seen a video with a clear use of excessive force, and we see a man die in front of us, all caught on video, and no indictment.
You go back to your days of standing before folks like this, and what do you think that they saw that we didn't see, or how that went so that it came down to the non-indictment?
Well, that's what doesn't make sense, because I presented hundreds of cases in front of a grand jury, and I can tell you that I never went back to my office without an indictment. If you look at the statistics, in 2010,
Did you try to indict a police officer for killing a black man?
I did not, but there were people in my office that did indict police officers. And I can tell you, in 2010, 162,000 cases went in front of grand juries by the U.S. Attorney's Office, and only 11 failed to return an indictment. That's less than 1%. When a prosecutor wants to indict a case, regardless of whether or not it's an officer or not, a prosecutor gets an indictment.
Reverend Al made a point earlier, and he said the prosecutors and the police officers are working together. That's why you don't find prosecutors that will prosecute police officers, because they need police officers to help them investigate the cases that they bring before the juries.
And I would agree with Reverend Al. That is the problem. There is no way that a prosecutor in a particular office should be presenting an indictment in front of a grand jury for someone he or she works with. You work too closely with officers, with FBI agents, to be asked to present cases against them. In every single case involving an officer-related shooting, death, arrest, anything like that, you should have a special prosecutor. Hands down, that should be the procedure.
And so is that going to be the next step, you think, or should it be the first step in terms of making some changes in these grand jury situations?
You know, I used to think that the first step should be body cameras on police officers, because, mm-hmm. and I've been a proponent of that for
years.
Yes,
you have.
I've been saying for years it protects our citizens, it protects our police officers. So I still think that needs to be one of the first steps, but no question, we also need training. Bias training for police officers. We also need escalation of force training, because if you're going to make an arrest, you don't need to shoot someone at the first thing. And I also do think there needs to be a special prosecutor assigned in each and every case where you have an officer-related shooting or death. No question about it. There are those things that need to happen.
Okay, so why wasn't there a special prosecutor in the Darren Wilson case,
in the
Darren Wilson case in Ferguson, in the Staten Island case? Why wasn't there a special prosecutor?
Well, it's not mandated by law yet, and I've been speaking to my good friend Ben Crump about this for years, and we both agree you've got to have a special prosecutor be mandatory. You know, in Missouri, everyone asked for a special prosecutor, and the governor decided against it. At least in the Trayvon Martin case, while we didn't get the verdict that so many of us expected and thought was the right thing, you did have Angela Corey, whether you like it or not, as a special prosecutor, not take any case before the grand jury. she did what prosecutors around our country do every single day. She brought that case herself, she charged it herself, and she took it to trial.
And whether you like the results or not, she did do that.
And that's why Zimmerman went to trial, because of a special prosecutor, huh?
That's right.
And so this is a state-by-state case, then, in terms of making this mandatory?
That's right. And in most states, quite frankly, it's up to the governor. The governor makes the decision to assign a special prosecutor. It's up to sometimes the prosecutor's office to decide that they're not going to have someone in their house prosecute someone else in their house. They're going to go outside and get someone that's going to make a fair and impartial decision. And it's just, it's now something that's so at the forefront that we all know that's what we have to ask for. There has to be a movement across the country where we demand legislation that there's a special prosecutor whenever you have an officer-involved shooting or arrest. We cannot
expect prosecutors. Are prosecutors assigned, or are they elected?
Well, that's a good question. Prosecutors are elected.
They are elected. Should they be assigned? Because if you're elected, aren't you beholden to the people that vote for you, like police unions?
Well, yeah, that's a fair point. I think that's a fair criticism. But, you know, with the U.S. Attorney's Office, you're generally appointed. You're not elected. I was an appointed prosecutor. The U.S. Attorney, the lead prosecutors are appointed. Attorney generals are appointed. But local prosecutors, by and large, are you know, elected by their constituents. If you look at Staten Island, which I got to tell you, you know, I'm a native New Yorker, born and raised in the South Bronx. Staten Island, out of all the boroughs, as you know, is our most conservative. It sort of acts like an island unto itself. It's a majority white borough, and that district attorney does not need to please anyone but the constituents of Staten Island.
And Sonny Hostin, though, what about the governor of New York? Did he have that request put before him to appoint a special prosecutor in this case?
It doesn't look like that, no. We were looking at that last night on CNN, no.
Hmm. And I know Nixon in Missouri, obviously, I know the situation there, or a lot of us know that situation, but I was just wondering about with the Democratic governor in New York State. Hmm.
Okay. It doesn't look like that. And aren't we all disgusted and frustrated? I mean, I said last night, and I feel like that this morning, we can't breathe. I can't breathe. I just can't believe that this is happening in my hometown. I can't believe it's happening in these United States. I mean, where are we as a country? Where you could see a man die on videotape. You could see a man taken down on video. And it just doesn't seem to matter.
I'm not trying to be funny, but I worry about you. Because you are, and last night was probably the epitome of, I mean, because you are so emotionally charged, and because this is so personal to you, and being a hometowner, this is very difficult, and we can see that, and I really applaud your passion as well as your intellect. You've done a really great job in covering these.
Yeah, Sonny Hostin from CNN. Thanks a lot, Sonny.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Much.